Welcome to another episode of the Conversations for Financial Professionals podcast, where we are helping the next generation of financial advice and shaping that. Today, we have a treat for me. Oh my gosh, this is a treat for me. Mr. Miles Beckler, you are a digital entrepreneur on this, what I think is a great mission to help individuals unlock the abundance and lifestyle freedom possible through internet marketing and entrepreneurships. Nearly 20 years of profitable digital marketing experience. That's very important when you want to be a guru. You got to have profitable experience here, with the goal of being the most helpful internet marketer ever. You've given away your best how-to information for free through your YouTube channel, which has grown from zero to 100K subscribers in under 3 years, and on your blog, man. I was telling you before we got started here, I've benefited so much. So welcome, my brother, to the podcast.
Dominic, thanks for having me, man. I'm happy to be here, happy to share, and it's great to finally connect.
Yes. Like there's so much stuff I want to get into, but yeah, today is all about how can somebody go from looking at a Miles or a Dominic or whoever's brand that they're like, how do they get people to come in and work with them? Like giving them the behind the scenes and the architecture of that is really what I want to do. But before we jump in, I got a quick icebreaker question. So the marketing funnel on WordPress, which is my first interaction with the Miles Beckler brand, that whole indoctrination event, how many times did you record that video? It was so detailed, dude. How many times did you record that video?
The DIY sales funnel series, honestly, it was one shot, one take.
Okay.
Was that I had all my ducks in a row, and I've done it and I've been doing it as a practitioner for years, right? I never stopped doing the work. I'm still like in the weeds. I'm in the trenches, if you will. Okay. And I just kind of like did it once, one shot, had a few notes, and my whole channel, my whole content creation strategy, I've always forced myself to do things in one take because I really don't like editing and I really don't have time for editing. So from get go, it was like, okay, well, if I flub my words a little bit, I'm just going to make a little joke about my, and just kind of keep moving forward. And that was one of the examples. I'll be honest with you. So the first video was like an hour and a half or something. I was wiped out after it, right? Bunch of notes, bunch of readiness. And you deliver it and you get it all done. And it's just, okay. I'm just kind of out for a day.
And recovering after that. Yeah,
it is. And I still do really big impactful pieces, but I got to mix them up on my YouTube channel with the 10, 20 minute videos of just that are a little more lighthearted and fun. But, I'm glad you found that. I'm glad that's what brought us together. I love knowing what that connection point was.
Yeah. I mean, you had a lot of stuff on there and I'll bring it up, but like the whole escape to arrival framework, which like helps you outline your thoughts so that you won't just be on all these 15,000 streams of consciousness type of thing. So it's great. So, okay, I have a couple of arcs for this conversation to be the most impactful, I think, for the listener. So let's talk about the architecture of a funnel at a high level. And then, because I think that dovetails or segues really nicely into the prospect's journey, into like this customer journey you need to take people on. You can't just like, you know, immediately say, hey, here's the thing I want to sell. Like you gotta warm them up.
The new MLMers on social media that we all see, that's like, you know, buy my oils, buy my thing, join my team. It's like, whoa, there was no foreplay might be the right word, might be the wrong word, but you know, there was no kind of warming up of the process. It was just like straight for, you know, will you marry me versus let's go on a date, let's get to know each other type thing.
Now, I'm glad you said that. We're on the same wavelength. I was about to say, wham, bam, thank you, man. But I think I'm dating myself with that phrase a little bit. So
saying the same thing.
Yeah. And then I think, not to get super granular, because there's tons of resources that they can work with you on, but the actual building of the funnel 101, like some steps, some crucial steps. So I think that would really, really help people. So let's start with about the architecture of it. Let's go back to something I said, the escape to arrival framework. How that seems like that would help you build just about everything. Can you weave that into like how you start thinking about funnels and what a funnel is?
Absolutely. So it's an alternative to an outline for people who are just listening along. And essentially on the left side of the paper, you draw a circle and that's where your prospects are. And in that point, they don't have something that they want. And then on the far right side of the paper, you draw a circle and that's where they want to be. That's when they got a smile on their face. You just draw a line between the two and boom, boom, boom. What are all the milestones? What are all the, I think milestones is the right phrase, the major pieces to get them there. And once you've mapped this out, it can become eBooks, it can become courses, it can become free content and funnel content, but it's just thinking about like, okay, what is that process? And engineering a pathway for your best customers to find you, get to know you, get to like you, get to trust you, and then ultimately to buy from you. And so, you know, in the world of like certified financial professionals, that kind of like closing might happen over the phone. Okay. So we want to start with the end in mind. What's the actual physical action? For some digital marketers, I just want them to buy my ebook. And then once they buy my ebook, I upsell them on my coaching or something like that. So it's knowing what's the actual mechanism, what's that sales process, and then engineering all the steps that lead up to that. And each step is meeting the user where they are, answering their questions, and honestly, it's helping them overcome their objections before they ever get on the phone with you. And these are all the things that a sales funnel can do for you, to where by the time somebody goes through, I like to call it an obstacle course, when we're closing over the phone, you don't want to talk to everybody. You want to talk to people who have gone through the entire obstacle course and they're still with you, and you know they've got a million in assets or whatever your kind of bottom line is. They know all the, and they fit all those requirements. And then you're only talking to the 2, 3, 4 people per day who have an absolute highest likelihood of people. So it's like, all right, well, how do we get there? Well, so a phone call is going to happen. What do we want to do before a phone call? Well, I probably send them through an application. I might even have my assistant go through and verify that application. What are they going to do before the application? Well, they probably want to need to be on a webinar with me for an hour to learn my method, right? What's my system of managing their finances? Why do I offer higher returns with lower risk? Obviously run that by your compliance department. And then from there, what are they looking for? What are the pre-questions they're asking before they ever want to get on a webinar with you? They're like, you know, what do I do with my 401k? Can I use an IRA? Do I do a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA? You know, my work gives me these three options. Which one's the right one? Or I just moved. Can I roll this over here or there? And that's where they're looking for bits and pieces of content. So we kind of like, we drew this map, this line across the piece of paper. We went to the end of it first. Like, okay, what action do I want them to do here? And then we go back step by step by step all the way to eventually all the little questions they might ask. And then it's a process of kind of creating stuff and interlinking it in a way that every step they hit kind of leads to the next and leads to the next. And those ambitious people can find their way all the way onto your calendar, ultimately, to book a phone call with you if they're the right kind of person. And it also positions you as just being really helpful and really cool. So if somebody's not for you, that's fine. They won't make it all the way through to that piece, but they might find your YouTube videos and your blog stuff, and they might just fall in love with you, and they might recommend you to Uncle Harry, who just sold his business, right? You never know what kind of good comes from doing good in the world. But how's that for a starter framework?
No, if you could see inside my brain, the gears are just going, because you brought up a lot of things that I super appreciate the fact that you familiarize yourself with, you know, the vernacular inside of our industry as far as AUM and some of the things you mentioned, because I think the biggest problem when I counsel or consult with financial advisors is they are looking for too quick a return on their investment when it comes to this whole iteration phase. And I'm like, look, you're being a hypocrite, because when people come to you and they want their money real quick and to grow real fast, you're like, well, calm down,
temper your
enthusiasm. So I'm glad you said that, because, you know, one of the easier things, and let's just double click on this, this framework here, because you asked a lot of really great questions thrown out there. And I hope people are taking notes, because when you're thinking about this framework, you know, employee benefit review is one thing that I heard where somebody's like, I work at this job, I don't even know like what the 401k match is, like what kind of coverages I should have. Like that can be a niche or a specialization. And you can go down all the way around down the rabbit trail with just that.
Yep.
And one thing I tell advisors is don't be so dead set on trying to get everybody with a pulse.
Right.
You really want to narrow down your audience. And I want you to kind of go in on that a little bit. What is the power in narrowing down, even though it may seem like I want everybody, I got to eat, but you know, at the end of the day, you want to get specialized. Why is that?
Yeah, it's like, hey, do you have money? Yeah, cool. Let me show you my little investment strategy over here. It's like, whoa. So honestly, many businesses and business owners and entrepreneurs, because we wear many hats, we do a lot of different things, we can drive ourselves insane by bringing in the wrong people, right? The people who are just needy, who they put their money into with you, and like literally on Tuesday, today, the market's kind of going a little weird today, right? And somebody who just put their money in last Friday is calling you right away. And like, you just don't want those people. You flat out, like, you don't want to deal with them. They're energy vampires on every single level. When you get the right people, So I have one guy, he's in the financial world. He's on YouTube as the Bond King. He gets emails from people be like, I've got about $1 million and I'd like you to manage it for me. And he's never talked to them. He's never emailed them before. And that's what he wants to happen. He literally wants that person, 500,000 to about 2 million is his sweet spot, which there's actually not a huge amount of people. There's people want the high ticket stuff. And he just gives all this information. So he's engineered in a way to where he just gets these emails from people. He gets on the call with them. They already know him. They already like him. They already trust him. There's no objections. And it's like a fun, like, okay, cool. Well, here's the process. How does it work? Here's the process. And when we really focus in on our best potential customer, we just make our life easy. And so you can get more done, less time, more free time with the family, more free time with the kids, more free time doing whatever it is that you really want to do in life. And all of the finances, like the 80-20 rule, which most people are probably familiar with, right? Yeah. So inside of the 80-20 rule, 20% of your customers are going to bring 80% of the headache, and 80%, you know, it's like, it's, we just play that ratio to our advantage to make sure that our business is ultimately something we love, something we want to engage with. And you have the ability to talk to everyone. And when you talk to somebody who's making $36,000 a year and they're trying to get their 5,500 or what, 6K into their IRA, and that's like a big thing for them, like, that's great. But like, what's the profit potential on that person versus someone who is running an S corporation, they're paying themselves hundreds of thousands of dollars in dividends, and they're trying to do the solo 401k, and they're about to be putting, you know, a husband and wife couple's putting, I don't know, 80 grand or so per year, and they've already got 300 grand. Bingo. You want 2% and 2 and 20 on that. That's who we want 2 and 20 on. So let's just build it around that, because these entrepreneurs, they're trying to educate themselves. They're hustlers. They're self-starters. They're on YouTube. They're on Google. They're reading. They're learning. They're trying to understand the Boglehead approach to things. And is Vanguard, is the index fund, is it a flawed? Like, how much bonds do I, right? There's all allocations. Like, that's what we entrepreneurs look for. So you can meet that person. And I'm telling you, your life as a financial advisor is going to be way better if you're working with people who have hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the kind of discipline and lifestyle to build a real business, I'm not saying ignore the other people, the other folks, like, let's create content that's helpful for everyone, but let's engineer the funnel to make sure that only the right people get on the phone with you. Everything about your life, everything about your business is just going to work better. Not to mention profitability goes up from there.
No, I can't agree more. I think when you start to think about this, you know, I have an independent RIA firm, been doing this for 5 years on my own, 20 years in the industry. The reality is, you can build a really great practice, specifically with this independent RIA model, with 50 to 100 clients. You figure there's 330 million people in the United States. Let's call half of them can invest with you. Right. It's not that hard to find 100 families. If you can't, you're probably doing something wrong. And that may be, I would say this, something is broken on a different side of it. It could be the firm you work for, or it could be the message you're using. But the reality is you can build the margin into your life that I hear that you're talking about, that is not just, you know, money freedom, but also time freedom, which is huge. I want you to go in on that a little bit, because when you start thinking about all the things that an entrepreneur, business owner has to do, and I say this a lot to my financial advisor clients, I go, just because you're good at financial planning does not mean you're going to be a good business owner. Skill sets are mutually exclusive. But when you specialize in something, you get scalability so that you can ramp up faster, and you get to do the things that I think, you know, most people value time over money, if you really think about it. They should anyway. So maybe talk about that time freedom a little bit more and how you've used that in your own brand.
And so money is a mechanism ultimately. So financial freedom, right? What is that? Financial independence? What does that mean? It means I bought all my time back, and I no longer need to use my time Monday through Friday right now in 2021, as we're recording this, to generate enough income to live ever again. All my income's coming off of what I did. So I literally invested a bunch of energy early, and I was intelligent about how I kind of invested the value I created with that time and energy to set myself up forever. And we can really build our businesses and automate so much of our businesses to where I still need the cash flow. You know, Miles, I live an $8,000 a year, a month lifestyle, right? I need 100 grand a year type thing. That's great. Now we can engineer our systems in place. So if it's 100 clients to get you to that point, well, how many prospects need to go through your application process? You know, if 1 in 10, perfect. We need 1,000 people to get through to our application. Cool. Well, then how many people do I need to get on my webinar to get that many people on? Okay, so I get a 30% conversion rate for my webinar. Perfect. I know that I need 3,000 people on my webinar. we just can back the numbers all the way out to like how many people do I need watching my YouTube videos, or how many people do I need reading my blog every week to make all of those numbers happen? The mechanics, the tech, if you will, which is super simple these days, it's incredibly easy. The tech does the sorting for you. And maybe that's actually the best way of putting it, is like, at no point are we really selling them. We're simply sorting people. We're just helping people, building systems to sort out the wrong people. So it gets down to the right people. And when you're like, do you have questions still? Like, I answered all the objections and questions that I've ever heard on my webinar. Like, how can I help you? And they're like, I just really wanted to kind of like make sure you're a real person, chat with you for a minute. And okay, cool. You ready to go? Yeah. Like let's tie in your TD Ameritrade and get started. Right. However that exactly works.
Yeah.
We can hear it. And then, so, customer management stuff. You can get virtual assistants to run, whether they're locally, whether they're virtual at this point in time. Yeah. So many aspects of the business can be done and managed by all of other people to do all the little stuff that you don't really want to do, to where you're doing that, which makes the money, which is closing people on the phone and managing their monies. And that's it. And you don't have to deal with any of the other BS that goes along with it, because you've engineered a system. And the coolest part is the tech, it's super inexpensive. And with the power on our cell phones, right? Like with an iPhone and a decent microphone, that's all anyone actually needs to start creating content and to be helpful. I've got one student on YouTube, he calls himself Whiteboard Finance. It's a dude standing in front of a whiteboard. You've seen him.
Yeah.
So he's at like 600,000, 500,000 subscribers right now. When he found my channel, he was doing like 10,000 subscribers. And he was like, oh, okay. So the game is, I just teach everything I know for free, so people who are curious and interested find it, whether they're his right people or not. And then boom, into the funnel they go. Now we've been talking a lot about client managing clients, right? And everyone who's dealing with clients knows that some clients are great, some clients are annoying. And sometimes you're like, I'm done with clients. And there's totally an opportunity in this world to start selling ebooks, to start selling video courses. So right now, crypto is really hot. It's like in your world, I'm assuming most kind of independent advisors are hearing from people like, should we get in? I've been thinking about, how do I do it? Where do I custody?
The whole decentralized finance
DeFi
discussion.
Huge, right? Aave is up 500%. Yeah. What's this Dogecoin thing?
Yeah.
And all it is whether you care or not, there's an opportunity to kind of inform your people. There's an opportunity to educate your people. There's also an opportunity to create an affiliate relationship where you find someone who has a great educational platform on that, and you simply recommend their products. Or if you love it and you got the hardware walls and you're a geek about it, you could sell a 197 one day or 2 day kind of deep dive to your list. Maybe the people who aren't spending millions with you, but they're on your email, maybe they'll want to buy that. And I guess ultimately, to kind of frame this around a less specific idea, because crypto will, you know, drop 70% and everybody's like hates it again or forgets about it for a while. It's multiple streams of income off of the one audience that you're growing that is still spinning off those perfect clients for you. But now you can start to come up with all of these different kind of products, and an ebook or a course, once it's done and built and automated, it sells itself. You build they watch the video, they land on the page, they read your sales copy, they make a yes or no decision, they purchase. You are out hanging out with the kids at the park and you just get that email alert like, oh, you just made $497 from selling your crypto course or whatever that might be.
Yeah.
It could be a Bogleheads approach to it. It could be why crypto is terrible for you and it's a $7 ebook. I don't know. Yeah. The thing is less relevant than the kind of bits and pieces, than the kind of structures that we're engineering.
No, I mean, you said a lot of good things. I think this is going down an interesting track, because I think one thing I want to highlight is if you're a financial professional and you're listening to this and you're like, I just don't have the time to do all that, I think you need to reframe your mindset. Because if you feel that you don't have the time to give away free content, which is going to pay you later, as long as you stick with it, I think you're thinking about this wrong. And my example would be is I built a whole business. Like when I first found your stuff, Miles, I did not have Jumpstart as a consulting business at all. Because of where I got and I kept on going, I ended up hiring a YouTube coach that gave me some ideas. And one idea she gave me was do day in the life of financial advisor. And I was like, nobody wants to know that wants me to manage their IRA. But you know, I was paying her, so I did it. And you know, that's one of my most popular videos. Like pure organic traffic comes through that video into this community now.
Yep.
And that speaks to your notion around giving away something for free.
Yep.
Sticking with it, and creating another revenue stream, which I mean, for me was a whole nother business. So like, I just really want people to hear that. I love what you say about sorting versus selling? Because a lot of people in this industry say, I don't want to be salesy and I don't want to sell to people. So just real quick before we move on to the prospect's journey, unpack that notion around sorting versus selling, because there's nothing wrong with selling. Everybody is sold to, but I love the way you put it.
And it is the kind of rebuttal to, like, I don't want to be that sleazy salesperson. I don't want to force people to do with it. Great. That's awesome. Neither do I. I refuse to do that. But there are people out there who are literally, they're looking for you. They're like, I finally, you know, it's a good problem to have, right? Like, finally, I have some money. I got some money sitting there. It's literally sitting. I got $230,000 sitting in a money market account. I don't know if that's a very good idea because it's getting 0.6% right now and all this other stuff. Like, we are on the bull market of the, and they're like, what do I do with this? And they're looking for a helpful guide. Okay. And then there's a bunch of other people who are, you know, asking all kinds of questions and building systems that allow the person who is, they got their wits about them. They've got their money set up. They kind of got some discipline in place that's required, right? They've been doing the richest man in Babylon game for long enough that they're ready for you. Those are the only people who talk to you with a readiness. And on that idea of, like, I don't really have time to make all this content. I don't have time to do all of this. Ultimately, it's going to be front-loaded, but it'll save you so much time in the end. The best place people can start is, what objections are you hearing over and over and over? What are the, I'll call them dumb questions. They're not, no, there is no dumb question, right? Like, yeah, there are some that we're just tired of answering. So my whole business, the Miles Beckler brand, my library started because I kept having people be like, Miles, you and your wife are making money on, how are you doing this? Can I buy you lunch? Can I buy you dinner? Can we sit down over coffee? And I'm like, yeah, I love people. I love helping people. And as you probably can tell, I just don't stop talking. So it's like, cool, opportunity for me to get caffeine and talk. Let's do this. But it reached a point where I'm like, okay, I'm being really inefficient here. I'm repeating myself over and over. What if I made a library where I could just take all of these ideas? And then when somebody's like, hey, can you show me how to do that? I'm like, yeah, youtube.com/MilesB. And it does all the work for me. And it sorts people out to the few who actually are kind of like where I want them to be. And it's that same thing. So every objection that we get, and what I think most people would be really kind of would benefit a lot of people is on your cell phone, to start taking notes and have, like, whether it's workflowy, Notion, Evernote, whatever your free note app is, have one note page of, like, frequently asked questions. Could be objections, could be questions. And you'll just start to observe that, like, man, I always hear that. Or other people are always curious about that. Or what are the things that people just always get wrong about registered advisors, right? Like, like, it's all things. All of a sudden you'll just have a list. And then you get these emails from somebody who's like, hey, I was curious about this. And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't have to sit here and bang out and type out a 45 minute email that I'm going to edit 6 or 7 times. I can link them to the video. And then here's the magic of structuring it this way. Once they go to your video, YouTube starts suggesting more of your videos. And that individual has an opportunity to, we live in the age of binge watching, which is in the 90s when I was growing up, like if you went home from school or from college and you're like, oh, I just binge watch a show all weekend. People are like, are you okay? We need to have an intervention. That's not cool. But today, it's okay. It's culturally acceptable to watch 8-9 hours of the same thing. Yeah. What if someone who has $1 million sitting literally spread out across 4 bank accounts because they think it's insured, and they're like, what do I do with this? And they watch 8 hours of your content over the weekend because they saw you. They're like, I like this guy. I like his style. I trust him. He's fun. He's whatever it is about you. They just connect with you. You're off doing whatever you want to do. YouTube is now doing this sorting for you. Then we have to mix in an opt-in page, right, to get them on your email list for a free thing. And then there's that webinar piece that would be the next step, right, to further qualify, and then like a little application. So what, 3 major pieces of technology aside from a tripod, your iPhone, and like a decent Shure microphone, that technologically speaking is enough. And when you get all of these little bits and pieces out, YouTube's going to do all the work for you. And a virtual assistant, an email inbox management person, can go look to see if you have a video on the topic, and they can send out that video for you, just freeing up time left and right and left and right. And it's kind of another way of saying it, is like looking for those leverage points. Like, where can we stop repeating ourselves and stop doing those little things that we're doing over and over and over, build libraries of information, whether it's blogs or YouTubes or podcasts, and you know, send people into there because they can binge watch, they can read forever, they can build the relationship, no, like, trust happens, and boom, ready to go from there.
No, and I think we've somewhat beat the horse on the prospect's journey, because I was going to throw in a Joseph Campbell and Heroes 2 Journeys reference. Just go get that book. You referenced something earlier, like this swipe file of, you know, just questions, which is how my YouTube channel, like, people were asking me, how do you come up with content? once you do enough videos, the comments take care of the content for you. You don't have to worry about that. So, and you know what your audience wants to hear. You don't have to be thinking about, do people really care about how to leave the broker dealer and start their own firm? Well, I got 15 questions about that. So they must want to hear about that. So no, I love that. I think it's one of those things where you have to dip your toe and you just have to do it. Yep. It's not going to be perfect. You may be doing some things afraid, obviously. And I think it really helps to kind of know your client, which we already talked about specialization. So you've thrown out some stuff. Let's talk about like where, and I'm going to reframe some stuff and then we'll just kind of fill in the blanks. So it sounds like you are a big proponent of video. I love video. I tell people all the time, if you're a financial, this is my wife of 23 years told me this. She's much smarter than I. She said, so let me get this straight. You're a financial advisor. You want people to trust you with their money, but you're not showing your face. And I was like, good point. So from then on, I did video.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And I think I was like, look, financial advisor person paying me for my advice, get on there and video, forget compliance. Like compliance is there. I realize you can't break the rules, but at the end of the day, there is so much, I guess, the boogeyman around compliance, but there's a lot you can do. And it will be changing the next 12 to 18 months. They need to read the SEC rules here. But here's my point. Where do we start? Would you start with like your camera phone? Is don't go buy a big DSLR, go cheap. Yep. And just get your first 50 videos out, or even maybe a 30-day challenge. Do a video every day, whether you publish it or not.
Yeah, and I want to pull back a little bit on this because I agree with you in the power of video, but for some people, it's just flat out not in their personality. And for some people, structuring written content in a blog. So the reason I jumped into video is because I really don't like editing written content. I'm actually pretty good at freeform writing a big old draft of a blog post, but then like punctuation and grammar and sentence structure, I don't do it. So okay. I find myself wanting to publish content and then I never actually clicked publish because it was never perfect in the written form. Mm-hmm. When I tried video, it worked. I did it. It was like, oh, that was good enough. I could publish that. And it went out and I was like, okay, I just found my personal way of creating content and everyone's going to have their own way and style. And so kind of like knowing knowing what's in your, and you and I, we have like, it's the same thing. We've got that same thing, Dom. So we can meet on that. And I don't want to exclude the people who are like, man, I'm so introverted. The red light on a camera is the scariest thing in the world.
So podcast, blogs, even now videos. Voice, right? Yep. Is a thing. You can even go Clubhouse if you want, because Clubhouse is another. So yeah, I would agree with you. So listen, weave in audio. I know I like video. I listen to a lot of Gary Vee, and he's like, the best thing about video is A, you can splice it up into so many different micro content pieces.
Yep.
You can strip the audio and you can have a podcast.
Podcast.
And you can take the transcript and you can have a blog. So right. You get a three banger if you're stretched That's for it. Time like me.
and I call that the three pillar content marketing strategy. And I think everyone needs to get there at some point. But when we're starting, we need to do the one that feels easiest to us, or else we're gonna like freeze and we're gonna resist and resistance happens. I also think that video is going to continue to grow in popularity as data streams faster, phones stream things faster, et cetera. So with that said, kind of like the know thyself part is absolutely the first step. Because my wife, she started with blogging and she loves blogging, and her blog has reached 40 million plus human beings just sitting on a laptop, typing out words, publishing words. So like it works. I think that a blog, a podcast, or a YouTube channel are the only three to consider. Clubhouse can support that. Instagram, LinkedIn can support that. But ultimately, we need to own some sort of a main channel and then work to distribute it from there.
Are you ready to accelerate your progress? Are you ready to make the leap into the financial services industry? Maybe you're about 12 to 18 months away and you want a sneak peek on what it's gonna be like. I got you covered. It's called the Jumpstart Accelerator Group. These are individuals that are looking to make the leap into the financial services industry in the next 12 to 18 months. And what I'm gonna do to help accelerate your progress is I'm gonna pair you with one of my professional development program cohort graduates. These are people that are just like you, probably a few steps ahead because they've already gone through the program and they are already on their journey. They can share their wins, they can share their experience, they can share their perspective with you. And they're gonna do this inside some mini coaching sessions.
As you go through that, you're going to really, really understand what it's going to take to make the leap properly. All of this, and I'm throwing in some lifetime access to some bonus trainings that I think are really going to help you get started. For more information, check the link below or send me an email to hello@jumpstartcoachinglab.com. And now it's time to get back to the conversation.
Let's double click on that real quick, because you bring up something real point is owning that data. You know, if I go into a Facebook ad account, so we don't have to touch, we can just touch there. You know, like at the end of the day, if you get suspended or, you know, the Facebook police come get you, you know, what do you do?
All the time.
Yeah. So like owning your own list, I think is key. So let's talk about the power of that email list, because, you know, the nuances of YouTube is great. You got subscribers, but you don't know who these people are. They got aliases and all this other kind of stuff. You need to be driving them to some type of email capture so that you own that data. You would agree with that, yes?
100%. So, I mean, I know, and I've never kid myself about YouTube. YouTube could turn me off tomorrow. I am doing everything within my power to make sure that doesn't happen. I don't, you know, I really limit the topics. I'm not going crazy. And some of the crazies in our world have gotten turned off and whatever, that's a separate conversation. It's a reality of the platform. Getting deplatformed is a thing. Facebook is doing it. Twitter's doing it. They deplatformed, you know, like some big time people, and like maybe they were right in doing so. So like whatever that answer is, so that's a problem. What do we own? What can we own? A podcast, you actually own the hosting and the feed, and then your WordPress blog. You actually own those two. And those are the only two. And this is where the original idea that linked us together was that DIY sales funnel, that WordPress-based sales funnel. See, you owned that. That was on your servers. You paid rent for that. If they decided to turn you down to the server level, you just go like install it somewhere else and you're right back online, because that's your data. It's your intellectual property. Then you use the YouTube to go meet people, because YouTube right now has 2 billion monthly active users just hanging out, watching videos, learning about all kinds of stuff, sewing, knitting, financial stuff, crypto, whatever. People are just watching 1 billion and 1 niches. So you meet them where they are. We go meet people where they are, and then we go give value flat out. Like your videos weren't like, hey, I'm on YouTube, go over here and get my free stuff, because I'm on YouTube, get my free stuff. Like we don't pitch. We go actually deliver value. We meet them where they are, and we answer all of the frequently asked questions, and we just go try to be the most helpful person in our space there on that platform. And then after they watch a video or two or three, and you mention in passing, and oh, by the way, I actually go deeper into that into my free ebook that you can get at mydomain.com/free, but let's get back to the topic. And it's these little subtle nonchalant, like, oh, by the way, that's in my free book. If you haven't got my free book yet, just go to mydomain.com/book and you can get my free book. All right, let's get back to the real point here.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden people are leaving YouTube or they're leaving the podcast and they're going in and getting your free book. Then they read your full story on how the big picture worked, and boom, they're like, oh my God, they get indoctrinated with your style, whatever it is that you do that makes you unique. Bingo, the relationship can happen. And the most powerful thing about email is it gives you an unlimited number of opportunities to follow up with someone. And we can automate a lot of this follow-up. So a guy named Dean Jackson out of Florida, really smart marketer, did a study of over a million leads. And of the leads that became customers, so we're talking about the pie, the 100% pie of customers, 15% of people bought within 90 days, 85% of people bought after 90 days. Okay. So the average sales cycle is longer than 90 days. How do we stay in touch with someone who's raised their hand saying, I'm interested? Okay. That's getting on your email list for your ebook. How do we stay in touch with somebody who's raised their hand that they're interested for the 91 plus days required for them to become a customer? Email. It's email. That's what we're all doing. And what do you send in email? Well, you send some of your videos and you send commentary on what's going on. The bond markets out of what, like just
there's a newsletter with value. Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
There's a nonstop potential for educating people. And if we show up in their inbox and we're helpful, we're cool, we're maybe mildly engaging. You don't have to be funny, but if you are, that could help. Tell stories, share story testimonial type things.
Yeah,
they're just going to read some of them. They're going to get to know you more. They're going to like your insights. And at some point on their journey, they're ready to make the move because things in their life finally got stable enough. I mean, when we first reached out for this, Dominique, like I was getting out of one house, moving, you know, 3 states away. And I was like, the timing's not good. And then we set up and then you're like, man, my internet's down because like Texas is frozen. Timing, it's timing. So everyone has this going on in their life in their own way. It's like, we finally can go on a vacation again. And if you're the one who shows up in their inbox with some helpful information, when they're finally ready to move out of roll over their old thing from that old employer that they know has been sitting there. They want to move it over and put it all into a self-directed. I don't know, whatever.
No, you're there.
when the timing's right for them, if you had that little helpful piece of information, and then in that email, just a little PS, by the way, if I can help you, you know, establish your financial plan or move your financial plan forward, here's how to get time on my calendar so we can talk. They go and it's like, watch this webinar, and boom, that is right in the funnel, right? The PS line in the value email gets them into the next step. If they watch the webinar, they go through the application, they're on the phone with you, bing, 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 bing. Your job in this scenario is, A, obviously there's a few things we have to build out, but yeah, once we've built it out, a couple of videos a week and a couple of emails a week, that's the job. Like, it's really not that much long-term. And that's kind of systems thinking, right? That's thinking about like, okay, I'm doing all this activity anyways. And I'd like to say, so I know there's some people out here who've used meetups. They do small group meetings at churches. Man, just get somebody to film the event. Like, what are you already doing? Like, if you can't get somebody to film the event, take your phone, buy a lavalier microphone that plugs in, hit record on your phone, slide your phone in your pocket, clip the microphone right here on your shirt, and do your normal ditty. Ta-da, podcast, right? If you're doing it once a week, once a month anyways. And so when we start to think creatively, it's like, there's actually not all that many different things to do. There's some conversion points. There's some optimization opportunities in there. Like you said, it took a while to really test your way to figure out what works. But like, boy, I mean, would you trade it for anything? Like now that you're here?
No, absolutely. And the one thing that, if I had to sum up what you just said, it has to be, it's a compound word that's relationship building. I think people they underestimate just, you know, social is, you know, this internet is everything. It's a conduit to help you get things done more efficiently if you use it in the proper way, but you're still building relationship, especially when it comes to people's money and finance. And I think I want to underscore that point and drive that home, because there's a lot of stuff we're saying and people will go through this transcript and they'll get, you know, confused and discombobulated. At the end of the day, become a really good relationship builder. Just think about how, like, if you met with somebody at Starbucks pre-COVID and they came up to you and they shoved the Wall Street Journal in your hand and said, now let me manage all your money. You'd be like, whoa, that's kind of awkward. Like, you would ask, hey, Miles, how are you doing today, man? Oh, how was the move? You know, I would do some things to warm up the conversation, like we said earlier. And I think people just need to think about that in terms of social and social selling and tech and how that all interweaves in there.
And a lot of people have it confused. They think like, oh, now I can just go post links everywhere. So I'm just going to become like a marketing robot instead of a human being. And no one wants to do business with marketing robots. We want to do business with people we know, we like, and we trust. Yeah. How do we get there? Just by being cool, right? By helping. So there's a quote, it's a sales quote by Zig Ziglar, and it's kind of cliche. You can have anything you want in this world if you help enough other people get what they want. It's the truest quote in the world. The law of attraction talks about it. You can find scriptures in the Bible that talk about it. Like, every culture understands this. So when we apply it to social and what we're talking about, so you can have anything you want in this world if you help enough people get what they want. Therefore, if I go help enough people get what they want, I can get what I want. So my job, theoretically, if I make my job, self-proclaim my job to go help other people get what they want, and that's what I do, I just take it on and I'm just putting it on my shoulder, like, I'm going to go help everyone get what they want. You got money in an IRA, I'm gonna help you get what you want, is that money to grow. You got money in a 401k, I'm gonna help you get what you want, which is that money to grow. You nervous about the money you have in the market, I'm gonna help you understand how to put bonds in and to you know, kind of diversify so you're protected. You wanna know about crypto, I'm gonna go help you. And we literally, we take it upon ourselves to take the job of, I'm just gonna go help people. Then the search algorithms, right? The YouTube algorithm, the Google algorithm, whoever we're publishing to sees that people are like, wow, this is helpful. They're watching a lot of your video. They're watching more of your videos because you're more helpful than anyone else in the world on that topic. You've won. From there, it's just, it's literally a tiny matter of a couple of little logistics, build the list, get them on the phone through a webinar and an application form. Like, that's like three things. The real challenge and real key is to stand out, because most of what they see on YouTube is these shady ads from shady people offering scams. Like, literally, like there's probably some truth. Every great lie has a thread of truth in it, but they're everyone's blinders are on. They're like, I don't trust anybody. This is, you got 14-year-old kids trading Robinhood about to teach me how to make my, nope, I don't trust any of it. But how do you stand out from the crowd? You just keep showing up, keep just helping. And that's what I've done. And that's literally why this conversation with you and I is happening to this very day is from that approach. And it's like, it's the best feeling in the world when, you know, before you were telling me like, oh, I started, I made a funnel and do it. And now I've upgraded to this. And now I got this whole other business. That's me winning. And there is, whether I got an affiliate commission from that or not, like, I don't care. I'm good. The world took care of me. The universe took care. I sowed enough seeds and I'm reaping a bountiful harvest, whether it's, it's not always directly transactional, and that's okay. Cause I can go reach hundreds of billions of people through the web, and I can go help billions of people. Therefore, if I go help enough of them get, then I can have everything I want, and I'm living proof it's true and it works.
No. I think this is a perfect segue to two things. The first is, this theme, and you didn't say this word, but what you were basically talking about is servant leadership, which I'm always telling people, if you want to get in this industry, you want to be successful. If one of the reasons that you want to get in here is primarily because of money, then you need to turn around and go the other way, because I don't want you in it. But if you're here to help people get what they need, help them bridge the gap of where they are to where they want to go, then I can't push enough people through the door from that feel like that. If that's the case, or since that's the case, let's talk about how people, if they're listening to this and they need a little help structuring some of the things that we talked about, what are some of the things that you have on your brand, on your side, that they could partake of?
Yeah, and you nailed it. And I want to reiterate that for everyone who's made it this far, and good on you for making this far in the recording, in the video or the audio. I've always said being of service at scale. That's like the phrase. And we have the ability through this cell phone, I'm holding my phone for those listeners, like through this little device that we always have on us, massive scale of content. And we can go literally be of service to just everyone who's looking. And I want to also dovetail the number one reason for divorce, which is a crazy number if you look at the rate, the number one reason for divorce in our country is financial problems, right? Yeah. Like, financial problems destroy once love-filled, blessed relationships. That's the impact, right? Yeah, we're playing money games and we're helping people with money and helping their finance. No, you are helping them at every level in their world, in their life. So the level of service in being a helpful financial advisor is, it's amazing, the potential. And it goes way beyond the money game, which is kind of what you touched on. So I love that we're like, obviously that's—
Yeah, no, I tell people, I say financial planning done right is supposed to change family trees. Yeah. That's just what it's supposed to do. If you're 100%. Not doing that, you need to double down on whatever your strategy is, or you need to get out of the game. Like one
of
the two.
For so many families right now, the gap of where they are to where they want to be, the gap of like struggle to comfort, right? Because $70,000 a year is the number, right? Above $70,000 per year, money doesn't really make much of a difference on the happiness scale anymore. But from $14,000 a year to $70,000 a year, that is a huge increase in personal happiness, in that, like, oh my gosh, we can go help these people work their way up this ladder. Like, wow. And it's education. Yeah. It is literally understanding, like, live on 90%, save 10%, do, you know, like literally richest man in Babylon type stuff.
Yeah.
We need to get this education out. How could we get that kind of a powerful idea in the eyes of millions of people who need it in our country?
Yeah.
Video, audio, cell phones, make it cool, make it hip. Get it on TikTok if you need to do it. Go preach it on Clubhouse, whatever. So I love that. And so my name's Miles Becker. I'm the only Miles Becker in the world. So you can just search for my name and I show up. I was blessed with a unique name. So thank you, Mom and Dad, for that one. I've got one video particularly. It's called the ATM strategy, and it's audience, trust, monetize. That's the big picture. And I draw it out on a whiteboard on YouTube. So you can search Miles Becker ATM strategy. But if you're like, I need to know about the funnel thing, I need to know how to build an email list, you can just type in Miles Becker, email list, or Miles Becker, funnels, and all my videos show up. So you can search, you can find me. I'm most active on Twitter if you want to say what's up and kind of banter about things. I'm hanging out, but I also answer all my comments on YouTube. And I'm just going to keep bumbling forward. I got 650 videos on my channel now that are all just trying to be helpful. And I'm just going to go forth and make more helpful videos and prove that this works.
Well, I love it, man. I will make sure to link some of that stuff in the show notes. First of all, I just want to say, man, I've thoroughly enjoyed this. I feel like I can go on another hour or not, but I'm gonna redeem the time. Like, what I like to say in closing is, this is a podcast to help empower tomorrow's financial professional with tools to serve their ideal client at the next level. And in that context, Miles, what word or words of wisdom would you leave with them?
Preeminence. It's a word, it's an idea from a guy named Jay Abraham, who's a marketer. And it's a big fancy word that means let's prove we can help people by just helping them. Like, let's just go create content that helps them right now. Let's go help them before they ever give us anything. Let's just go start helping people and be preeminent, right, with how we help people. And when we do that enough, enough people are like, man, I had this question. This dude actually answered it. He didn't try to sell me something. He just tried to, boom, that's being preeminent. The world's going to change. People will line up. Even if you don't have your email, they will find you. They will find ways to give you, just like my dude who gets those emails. Like, he makes it really difficult for people to find him, but he's just giving out so much helpful information that they just find him. And he's just literally being preeminent in a world where everybody's just trying to sell. Everybody's just trying to sell. And all of a sudden you're just that beacon of light with helpful information. Whether I'm gonna get something from you or not, I'm just gonna put out this helpful information. Boom. It changes everything. It's a perspective shift, but it is the shift in all of it. All the technical stuff will figure itself out, will fall into place. You'll find my videos. I'll show you how to do it on a video, but it's that strategy that if we don't get that right, we're building on a sandy foundation, and it ain't going to be for the long term. So let's build some skyscrapers on some bedrock here.
I love it, man. I love it. This has been great. So many sound bites, so many nuggets of wisdom. I hope everybody was taking notes. Listen to this over and over. Put it in your faves. Miles Beckler, thanks for being here, man.
Cheers. Thank you.
All right.
Hey there. I really hope you enjoyed this conversation. Before we go, just a few things. The best way to retain what you just learned is to do more than just listen. First, you need to write down your most important takeaway, and then you need to give yourself a deadline to apply it. For bonus points, you might also let someone hold you accountable to that deadline. Also, remember, the only way more people will know about this podcast is if you share it. You can do that by sharing a link to this episode on your social media or by leaving a review on iTunes so that it reaches a wider audience. I'd appreciate it if you took the time to do either or both. And finally, if you'd like to join my free community to learn more about how you can become a next generation financial professional, please text me at 214-544-9226. I love to hear from you and point you in the right direction. Bye for now, until our next conversation.